Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to begin reading to you out of Mark chapter 1 in just a moment. Jesus had just delivered a man that had been possessed with a devil that was attending church at the synagogue, and it seems like he was a regular attender. And so as long as there was just religion going on and power and authority didn't show up, he was still bound. But Jesus says, come off the mountain after having been tempted for 40 days, and the angels minister to him. And then the Bible says he comes in the power of the Spirit. Everybody say the Spirit. The Spirit. That makes the difference. And so he shows up and he reads the Word of God, and the evil spirit reacts to that, just like our hungry hearts react to that. And it was repulsive to the evil spirit, and Jesus cast him out, and it was no big deal. It was just what he'd come to do. And then he and his disciples walk a very short distance to the home of Simon Peter and Andrew. These are brothers, and they're enjoying a time of relaxation and reprieve from the crowd. It's like after you've been to a high school graduation, and then you come back home and you go, oh, now we're going to relax. Yeah. But their hostess, Peter's mother-in-law, gets sick with a fever. And in Mark 1 and 31, it says, he, Jesus, came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered to them. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's like, she didn't just get over her fever and everybody says, just lay here, baby, it's going to be all right. No, she gets up and takes care of her guests. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great deal before day, he went out and he departed into the solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Everybody's looking for you, Jesus. And he said unto them, let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Now, there's another scripture in Matthew chapter number 7, verses 7 through 8 that says, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The Amplified Version says, for everyone who keeps asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, the door shall be opened. And this morning I would like to preach to you, to them that seek him. Are you ready to seek after him? Let's welcome his presence. Thank you, Jesus, for your glory. Thank you for your grace. We welcome your spirit to mix with faith in our hearts with the word and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. A picture came to my mind as we were singing that last song, so we will praise him in advance. And the picture was, the cheerleaders are out on the sidelines and they're riling the crowd up, and they've been there for a few minutes, and all of a sudden the music changes and the team comes running out of the tunnel into the stadium, and they're all, they break through the banner and we're victorious. And before the game has even begun, the expectation is that they're going to win. Or a politician that says, we're going to win. We're going to win big. This is going to be a great thing. Or another man that says before he rises to the podium that I am going to defeat my opponent, and there's trash talk between the two kickboxers or boxers or whatever discipline they're a part of. But one of those teams loses, and one of those individuals goes home without the belt or the crown. But we know that Jesus Christ is faithful, and we can praise Him in advance because He holds the victory in His hand. And today I preach to you out of the Word of God by the authority of the Spirit of God and say to you, if you will seek Him, if you will continually seek Him, you will find Him. Most of us as a child played the game of hide and seek, but it was only a game. And the object was one standing on the steps or home base was to find each individual and then race them to home base and call their name out loud before they reach the safety of home base or perhaps touch them. If the person that was it did not tag at least one person, they would have to stand in again as it. Or perhaps they would be tagged in a later round and have to stand guard once more. And the days of playing that game are long since gone for most of us that sit in here, except for the crowd over in that section. Counting to 10 or 20 or 40 and then looking in all the obvious places while giving a running commentary was my way of doing it with my children and then my grandchildren. I played hide and seek with all but the youngest of my grandchildren, and they've hidden sometimes in plain sight, and we just walk on by and pretend we don't see them. They've giggled so much as to reveal their hiding places and have hidden repeatedly in the same location until they get old enough to realize that that's not what you do. Sometimes they have forgotten me and wandered off to other activities when they're supposed to be seeking for me because I hid too well. They've hidden where I could not find them. Brandon hid one time and I couldn't find him for over 40 minutes, and it was some time later that he revealed to us, I think it was when we were moving out of that house, where he had hidden because he found a great place. And of course, our grandchildren want to hide with us. And you know, if they hide with you, you're going to be found. My wife was hiding with Lincoln one time, my only grandson, and she said, "You need to be as quiet as a mouse." No, he's like somebody else I know. He cannot be as quiet as a mouse. You know, Lincoln doesn't know how to whisper. I think physically it's impossible for him to whisper. We tried to get him to do it. "Hi, how are you doing, Papa?" So my wife said, "Be as quiet as a mouse." And then she went in and hid in the pantry closet. And he said, "I'll be as quiet as a pig." It was pretty accurate. And they got found. See, the game of hide and seek is pleasurable because we both know that we will eventually be found or we will eventually find the others. And we also understand that part of the joy in the game is not in never being discovered, but in hiding to be discovered. We've all enjoyed this game, but with life advancing, another search became of greater importance. And now as adults from around the globe, people will search for gold in the rivers or in the mountains. And now they even have reality TV shows about it, or sunken ships or buried cities or tombs that have been unmolested where they go in and find the treasures. There's a man named Forrest Fenn, and he was tired of the chase, and he had chased for all of his adult life, and now he's 80 years old, and he writes a story called The Joy of the Chase. And he, in that story, he told everybody that he hit a treasure that was worth more than $1 million, and you can put the picture up there, please. And he hid that treasure chest, and that treasure chest sat for 10 years in the Rocky Mountains of North America. Precious gems that had been found and golden coins were in the box. And the millionaire art dealer, Forrest Fenn, he gave clues that included a map and a poem. And if you can show that to us, please. Countless people had searched for that treasure. He had tired of the chase, but he liked seeing others chase, and he was waiting in anticipation for them to find the treasure. For 10 years, they looked. And then all of a sudden, the announcement came. The treasure has been found, Fenn wrote in a statement to a blog run by Dale Nedzel for discussions among Fenn treasure seekers. It was under the canopy of the stars in a lush forested vegetation of the Rocky Mountains. And it had not been moved from the spot where I hid it more than 10 years ago, Fenn said. I do not know the person who found it, but the poem in my book led him to the precise spot. The successful seeker still has not revealed his name. The guy who found it doesn't want his name to be mentioned. He's in the east coast of the United States. But Fenn said it was enjoyable and he got a photograph of the hidden treasure. The search for Fenn's hidden treasure became a sensation, luring tens of thousands of people to try and decipher the clues and embark on that wilderness journey. But for years after the first clues appeared in Fenn's self-published book, no one could find the right spot. For some, it became a dangerous obsession, and in the process of looking for the trove, it was said to be at least worth $2 million, and at least four people died trying to find it. This ornate Romanesque box was just 10 inches by 10 inches and weighed about 40 pounds. Fenn still has not revealed where he hid the treasure. Neither has the individual that found the treasure. And after reports that the searchers had died while looking for his treasure, Fenn said to dissuade people from taking serious risks, "Hey, the treasure's not hidden in a dangerous place. I hid it when I was 80 years old." So 3 years ago, the treasure seeker, or hider, said he believes that 250,000 people looked for that stash that was worth as much as $2 million. So Fenn, who turned 90 last August, pledged never to reveal where it was hidden. He said, "If I die tomorrow, the knowledge of that location goes with me to the coffin. But you and I have a treasure in this earthen vessel," the Bible says. It's called the Holy Spirit. And it's not there to be hidden. It's not there to be shrouded in secrecy. It's not something that we just enjoy in our own prayer closet. It's not something that we speak about in hushed tones or we look at people and say, "I got it, but I can't tell you where I got it." But we can tell men and women, if they will repent of their sins and turn from their wicked ways, then they're baptized into the name of Jesus. They are promised the gift of the Holy Ghost. Men and women are seeking for what you and I have found. How many have found joy and peace in the Holy Ghost and gladness? Isn't it wonderful to have the Spirit of God accessible to you and I? We're no longer searching, but there's a lot of people out there that are still searching. We read again from Mark 1 and 37. "And when they found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee." You see, Jesus had been undercover for a little bit, but he's just been baptized by John. And John had received the promise or the confirmation, and he sees the Holy Spirit as a dove descending over Jesus. And he hears, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Peter, James, John, and Andrew had all been called by Jesus. And as we said earlier, Jesus had cast out the devil out of a man in the synagogue. Perhaps this man had given them trouble before, but now he was free. All that Jesus had done grabbed the attention of the crowd. And Mark writes in 1 and 28, "And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee." We need to tell everybody what Jesus has done for us. If he delivered you from some addiction, whether it was anger or love, lust or fear or some chemical addiction. We need to thank God and we need to tell our world, you don't have to live that way anymore because the deliverer has come. But I take you back to Mark 1 and 32. And that evening, when the sun did set, they brought to him all that were diseased and them that were possessed of the devils. And all the city was gathered at the door. Some, I am sure, were there just as curiosity seekers, but others sincerely desired a touch from the master. But the magnitude of the crowd is striking. It's also significant. It's at evening time when the sun's going down. If you will just imagine with me, the Bible says there's an 11th hour just before Jesus comes to take his bride home. And when the sun is setting, people are looking for refuge. They're looking for a hiding place. They're looking for lodging. They're looking for help. And you and I have found that help and that hope in Jesus Christ. I believe that there are many who would follow Jesus if they only knew who he was and how he cared for them. If you and I would share with them the location of the treasure. I get it in this world. I get it that Forrest Fenn never shared the location. I get it that the guy that found the treasure never shared the location. It was mysteriously woven into the poem, and I've read the poem, and of course, I'm not that good at treasure hunting, but people used their compasses, and they used their GPS, and of course, some of them, and in particular, the man that found it, searched many times. And didn't find it, and finally did find it, and he's the only one that will ever have that treasure. You see, Fenn had tired of treasure hunting. He's a multimillionaire. He had satisfied all his desires, but he knew there were others that would enjoy the hunt. You and I can tell everybody that Jesus has his spirit and he'll pour it out and there'll be no less for me and no less for you. And we don't have to worry about being stingy with that. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How do we seek him? I'm interested in some of the stories like Zacchaeus that we talked about before in Luke chapter number 19 and verse number 10. The Bible says in verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the press because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. I've said it before, it's about the size of one of those plum trees down on the boulevard. And he's got his business attire on. He's a tax collector. You know what a tax collector is? A tax collector was a Jew who sold out to the Romans. It was somebody who sold out to the oppressive government of their day. And they said, no, 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 we don't like you. So they sell out. They were turncoats on their own brethren. Nobody wanted to be around him. I mean, would you advertise that you were an IRS collector? No. I had one walk into the church one time saying I owed money, and I owed a little bit of money, but we were negotiating because they lied about it all. And when he walked in, he had his shades on. When I got called into their office, they were all dressed in black and shades on, and they wouldn't tell me their name. Why? They wanted anonymity. I told the guy he had to take his shades off or I wouldn't talk to him. So he finally did, the guy that came to the church. The other guy wouldn't, so I wouldn't talk to him. They don't want to be identified. These tax collectors were turncoats. But Jesus was willing to reach out to somebody who was seeking him. He climbs a tree in his business suit. What would you think if next Sunday you drove up and I was hanging out in the tree dressed like this? You'd be about right. What in the world is he doing? I'm seeing who's coming to church and who's not. No, he wanted to see Jesus, but he didn't just want to see Jesus. The King James says who he was. I want to find out who this guy is. And when Jesus walked by, he stopped and looked up and he said, hey, I'm here for you. If you come down and take me to your house, I'll tell you who I am. And he took him to his house. And that encounter, we don't know any of the details. We don't know any of the words that Jesus spoke. But when he was done, the Bible said, Zacchaeus said, I am going to pay back everybody I ripped off with interest. I'm going to give half of my goods to feed the poor. And I'm quitting my job. And I'm going to follow you. Why? Because he found the treasure. The greatest treasure that there is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's revealed himself to you and I today by the power of his Spirit. Don't you feel the wonder of his presence and the glory of his power? Thank you, Brother Eli, for leading us into the presence of the Lord. Oh, people don't come to church to see you and me. We're not that good looking. No, they don't come to see what we do, but they're looking for Jesus. In John 12 and 20, there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast, and they came to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and they desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And so Philip killed Andrew, and Andrew and Philip told Jesus, and they had an encounter with Jesus. People really are looking for Jesus. They're looking for a treasure, and some of them don't even recognize the treasure that is available. That's why you and I are hanging out door hangers. That's why we're praying for people on the street. That's why we're telling our neighbors and friends and those that we do business with what Jesus has done for us. Because we have found the treasure. We don't need $1 million. But if we come and commit to him and give our first fruits to him, he will supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm not depending on a government rebate. I'm not dependent on unemployment. I'm not dependent on who's in power and who's not. Because Jesus has taken care of me all my life. And he'll continue. What a treasure. It's an unending treasure. $1 million is limited, but Jesus is unlimited. A doctor is limited, but the one that heals all of our diseases is unlimited. He's not just a specialist in orthopedics, but he's the one that created us and made us and know how we work. He's not just a psychiatrist that deals with alcoholism, but he's the one that knows the way our mind works and knows the way our heart works, and he can heal us of our brokenness, and he can take those sleepless nights away, and you can lay down in peace and sleep. He can take that anxiety away that you woke up with every morning where you're going, oh no, what's today coming? And you can't even put your finger on why you have anxiety, but Jesus can put that to rest because he's the Creator. And he is love. I've been thinking about that so much lately. It's not just that he does love. We love and we hate. But Jesus is love. So it's just natural. He is love, so he loves. And he is love, so he created something that would have a choice to love him back. And that love of God, that's why when we fall, when we break down, when we fail, when we come short, and we look ourselves in the mirror and we say, you're not too good. Jesus says, I love you. I love you. I love you. You know, you don't look at a baby and say, hey, you dirtied your diaper. I don't love you anymore. You look at the kid and they drop something and it breaks, or they grab something and it slides off the table. You don't throw the kid away. Why? Because you know they're a child and you love that child and you continue to love them all the rest of your life. You love your children for life. And I tell my children and my grandchildren, I'm going to love you all my life. That's just the way it is. Jesus is not just going to love you all of this life, but he'll love you into eternity and into his eternal presence. That's a wonderful thing. But we've got to seek him. There's a spiritual axiom in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. the day after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus and his disciples were on the other side of the sea. And the Bible says this in verse 22, the following day when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save the one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with the disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh to the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. They said, well, if he's not here, we're going to go find out where he is. And when they get to the other side, many are delivered. Many are freed. Many are set free. And listen to what happens in Mark 1 and 40. There came a leper unto him, beseeching him. That word beseeching him is very interesting. It means this, begging on his knees. They that seek him shall find him. He got down on his knees, please. I know if you want to, you can. And if you want to, you can and you will. Please heal me. He was a man that had no help from any in this world. The only help he had was from Jesus. If you have an issue that nobody has been able to help you with, I've got good news. Jesus is here. The helper is here. The one that is needed is here. And Jesus healed him. There are thousands in our world that are looking for Jesus. But as you stand today, I want to ask you, what do you need from him? And I'm going to say something provocative. If you need something, maybe you need to come and bow on your knees and beg him for that something. Please, Jesus, I need you. I know a lot of you have gotten sick. I was talking to one of my friends, and I got COVID and went to the hospital. I just waited in the waiting room for hours and hours and hours before I finally got a room. But one of my friends that I was speaking to yesterday, his wife had been to the ER 4 times, and they turned her away. So they didn't beg. The daughter called up and said, I'm sending my mom. She has 104.7 temperature. And if you don't take her, we're going to sue you. They had her armband printed. They had a room ready for her. She bypassed the waiting room and went right into the ER, and they put the band on her and they took her vitals and put her in her room and gave her an IV and rehydrated her and started the process. They were insistent, I need your help. If somebody's bleeding by the roadside because they've been injured in a car accident, you don't just say, yeah. Hey, if anybody feels like helping them, please help them. No, you beg out. Have you heard anybody cry out, my son, my daughter, my friend, they're drowning, they're hurt. Somebody call help. Somebody call an ambulance. Somebody call the police. Are you or somebody you know looking for love, forgiveness, healing, or mercy? If it's restoration or just strength to make it through a struggle, Jesus is here today. And as we begin to sing or the music comes alive here, I want us to understand that we can come and we can bow on our knees. If you need something from Jesus, those that keep on seeking, those that keep on asking, those that keep on knocking, and if you will come and knock again, if you will come and seek again, if you will come and express yourself to Him again, He is ready to meet you right here at the front. Thank you for those that are coming. Don't be shy about it. If you have a need, the healer's here. If you have need of forgiveness, you can come and confess your sin to Him, and He will forgive it. If you're just wore out and you need strength in your body, or you need strength in your spirit, you can come and ask Him again and again, Lord, strengthen me. Jesus, empower me. Jesus, fill me fresh and new with your spirit. Oh, how I need you. Oh, how I long for you. I've got to have you, Jesus. This is an